But today is Amber Saturday, and there were other readings. But the first thing is, I want to thank our altar boy for being here. Michael, his name is Michael. And so everybody want to thank him afterwards for helping. Today is, we see in the first lesson, Deuteronomy. This is very important. Jesus is showing us through the prophets. The Lord has chosen thee this day as his particular people. He has spoken to you to keep all his commandments and to make you higher than all the nations which he has created to his own praise, name, and glory, that you may be a holy people of the Lord your God. Why? Because he has spoken. So again, this is what the divine will is about. To understand the great call that God is asked of us. To let go of the things of this earth in order to embrace the things of heaven. Not to wait until you die. Because if you wait until you die, it's not going to happen. Again, once you close your eyes to death, that's where you're going to be. Okay? So we have this life to get ready for eternity. Okay, so, and the more we become aware of that, the better it is for us. Again, look at your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners. What do you see? Everybody's on the way to hell. Everybody's recognizing that this life is important. And I've got to have this, and I've got to have that, and I've got to spend my time doing this, I've got to spend my time doing that. And nobody's getting ready for heaven. Okay, so our job is to help them. Our job is to help everyone get to heaven. Well, how do you do this? Okay, this is what the divine will is all about. To begin to live this abundant life for the honor of God, the glory of God, and the salvation of souls. So he says very clearly to us in the second reading, in the epistle, he says, from all appearance of evil, refrain yourselves. Okay, every thought, every word, every deed. We have to have nothing to do with that which is opposed to God, but have everything to do with what is of God. See, Jesus says, you are the light of the earth. You know, you don't put a candle under a bushel basket. You put it on a lampstand so everybody can see. He says, you are the salt of the earth. He says, but if the salt loses its flavor, it's only good to be walked on. Okay, you're the taste to the world. You're going to make the world exciting. How? By your life. By your love of God and neighbor. See, we are called by Jesus to live his abundant life. Nothing less than that. Not just to be good and holy and saintly. Not just to have a devotional life, which we've learned to this point. But to begin to live this divine life that Pope our Pope talks about. This is with the saints. You read the lives of the saints. They all point to this. But they can't go any farther because it was not their responsibility. It's Louisa's responsibility. So here we see in the gospel, Jesus takes his closest friends. Not all the disciples, just his closest friends. Like when he took them to heal that girl, the little girl, he took his closest friends with him. Like when they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he went farther with his closest friends, Peter, James, and John. That's us. But the Lord, we are his closest friends. Now, why? Because nobody wants Jesus. Or they want Jesus on their own terms. See, this is the astonishing thing. We're nothing. We're nobody. We're not important. We are miserable sinners. Yet, Jesus says, you are my closest. Okay? Let's just look today. What is everybody doing today? Okay? They're focusing on the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's where most people are doing. Okay? What are we doing? We're saying to the Lord, I want to draw closer to you. I want to spend time with you. Why? It's not you that have done this. It's God. It's the Lord hasn't because of your prayer giving you the divine will. No, it's God's prayer. God, He's drawing you close to Him. And we have to understand how much He loves us. As He loved Peter, James, and John. What happens? He was transfigured before them. And what Jesus told Louisa, like we've mentioned it before, but the transfiguration is the greatest gift given to the Old Testament. How can that be? Jesus is here. That's the New Testament. No. He brings Moses and Elijah. Jesus fulfills the law and the prophets in the presence of His apostles. So here's the changing point at this point. Shortly after this, Jesus says to His apostles, "This is My body. This is My blood." So from transfiguration, Jesus radiating divine light on the outside, greater than the sun, then at the Last Supper, He says, transubstantiation, here, this bread, this wine, is the Son of God, is Me. God creates Himself in bread and wine. Now, He says that's the greatest gift given to the New Testament is transubstantiation. So from transfiguration, how beautiful this is, on Mount Tabor, to now, a few months later, a little while later, he says, now is it I'm going to give you transubstantiation. And so for the last 2,000 years, we've had the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ at Holy Mass. And like I said, when we receive it, Mass ends right after communion, because the Church does not want to interfere with your communion with God. So he's asking us to fight the temptation of saying, well, let's go. But begin to see from Christ's perspective, see from the divine point of view, God is living in me. I'm in communion with God. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth. And then he tells Louisa, now in these end times, I'm giving you the greatest gift. Well, what could be greater than the Holy Eucharist? And that's to share in divinity, to go back to our origin, to go back when Adam was, when God breathed into Adam the divine life, image and likeness. Again, we receive the image of God through baptism. Now we're going to receive the likeness of God through this great gift of the divine will. So what is God doing? He's now saying, I saved the best for last. I mean, He did this at Cana. I've saved the best for last. Now I want you to share in My divinity. I want the inside of you and the outside of you transmuted into a different element. Okay, what does that mean? Again, that's the preternatural life that God gave to Adam. Integrity, impassibility, immutability, and immortality. This divine life is how we're supposed to live. We're not supposed to get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and die. That's not part of God's plan. That's because of sin. And we had to leave eternity to enter into time and space. Well, that's all coming to an end. I mean, people do not understand what God has got planned is heaven on earth. For the last 2,000 years, we've been praying, may Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. May Your will be done in me as it's done in the saints in heaven. He doesn't want any distinction. He wants this divine life to reign in us. So what happens is, this bright cloud overshadows them. A voice says, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. He is the voice of God. He is the Word of God. Hear Him. Now, the writings of Louisa Picaretta, Jesus has dictated these words to Louisa for our benefit. Like I said, there's many books out there. But Jesus says, the only book that will transform a soul is the book of heaven. So as we read this, as we study this, as we learn this language of heaven, as we become fluent in this language of heaven, we begin to live it. First, like I said, from volume 1 through volume 10, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. Then from volume 11 to volume 19, how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, and again, once you get to volume 11, this has never been taught by anybody before. Well, how can this be? There's no new revelation. Well, that's true. There's no new revelation on redemption. There's nothing new. This is not about redemption. This is about sanctification. And now is the time, Jesus says. I mean, we could see this with St. Faustina. We could see this with Maximian Kolbe. We can see this with Dina Bellinger. We can see this with Edith Stein. We can see something is changing. God is getting ready for this divine life. And he's asking us to participate in this. So he says, hear him. And what is it? The disciples fell on their faces. Again, this is the illumination. They were very much afraid. God alone is holy. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God of Sabaoth. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and don't fear anymore. And lifting their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus. They were illuminated. And then he comes down and he says, don't tell anybody of this vision until the Son of Man rises from the dead. Now this shows us, number one, that television is no good. Because he says, television to no man. That's why, you know, stay away from television. He says it right here, right after the Transfiguration. Television to no man. Then he says, until the Son of Man, a man rises from the dead. So our job is to begin to live this abundant life. I mean, we love the saints. But what they possess, as Jesus tells us, is to be a star at night in the darkness. See, Louisa, this is why the video, The Dawn of a Mystery, a new dawn is coming. A new era is coming. And Louisa's the one who's going to... The God has given this to Louisa for us. Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, have a newborn. And what is going to be so wonderful about this is as we begin to breathe this life, we become newborn. We begin to... it's not just to be... what do you call it? As the charismatics say, as the Pentecostals say, born again. It's not just that; it's to be reborn in God, to live an abundant life, to breathe. So that, like I said, when the divine will reigns, anybody that's sick, all you have to do is touch them, and Jesus is touching them. Now, nobody possesses this at this point. That's why we're talking about divinization. Nobody has this. Louisa has it, and God wants us to have it. But we've got to prove to Jesus that we want this. And that's why we prove it to Jesus by reading, studying, and putting it into practice. When this occurs, how great this is going to be, how wonderful the earth is going to be. The kingdom's going to be here. The devil's going to be gone. There's going to be no more worry, no more sadness, no more sin, no more death. That's what God wants for us. That's how we're supposed to be living. So we want to live that life now. And how do we do it? We use our free will to choose. I no longer want to live in my human misery. I want to live in God's holy divine will. That's simply what God taught Louisa. And the more that we say, I want your will, Lord, let it be done to me as you say. That we give that fiat voluntas tua, that the kingdom come on earth in me as it does in heaven, how glorious it's going to be.